Hello, hello, and welcome back to the SOM TV podcast. My name is Jason Wise. I'm truly honored that you are joining us. We're only 7 days away from the premiere of the SOM TV original feature film, The Delicacy. This is a film that I directed over the course of 7 years. I started this movie before I started filming Into the Bottle, and it's shot completely on film, above and below water, in Europe and the United States. It follows a group of sea urchin divers off the coast of Santa Barbara as they do what I think is one of the most dangerous jobs in the food world. They dive for sea urchin. Surrounded by sharks and current and all sorts of incredible dangers, they bring this very strange animal to the surface where it finds its end in some of the best restaurants in the world. That will premiere May 7th, only on SOM TV. Right now we have a 7-day trial, so there's no reason not to subscribe. SOMTV.com to sign up. I cannot wait for you people to see this movie. On today's podcast, I interview Sarah Thomas again. When we were talking for last week's podcast, she mentioned that her goal during COVID was to master her mother's egg curry. See, Sarah's family is from South India, and a lot of the recipes there are very difficult to cook because they don't write the ingredients down. And Sarah's mom is an amazing cook, but anybody who has a mother knows that sometimes it's very difficult to be taught by your mom. And so Sarah made this decision that she was going to get this recipe perfect, and she cooked it over and over again. And so we're going to talk about how she cooked it, what goes into egg curry, and what she learned about her family and her mother along the way. For those of you who have SOM TV, there's a documentary version of this that has all the visuals, shows her cooking it, shows the recipe and everything. It cannot compare to this podcast. You have to watch this. It is, honest to God, one of my favorite things that I have seen. And it was all filmed in somebody's home by a husband and wife who are locked up in New York City. So without further ado, here is Cooking Mom's Egg Curry with Sarah Thomas. So Sarah, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am locked up with children and just enough alcohol. That's what's happening at the moment for me.
I don't have the children. I do have enough alcohol.
Good. Well, husbands require alcohol as well.
Yes.
Not just children.
That's true.
So tell me what we're going to talk about today. I am so excited about this.
So today, I was very flattered to hear that you wanted to hear about my mom's cooking. So we're going to talk about making her Kerala egg curry. We're going to talk about some of my childhood favorite scents and what Kerala's like a little bit and some fun wines to go with it.
So Sarah, let's start. Tell me about what your mom's dish is and why this is something you made a decision during this quarantine to tackle. Why is this something you wanted to do?
Well, I have to say first that I have super strong memories, childhood memories of my mom's cooking. I didn't realize until I was an adult how super, super lucky we were that my mom cooked all the time. So every night we had different food. South Indian food, and particularly from Kerala, is pretty labor-intensive. So there's this whole process that I came to realize an adult sort of like ingrained itself in my mind. So the sounds of cooking, the smells, obviously the eating of it afterwards, like these are really like foundational elements to my life. And I know everybody says this about their mother's cooking, but I swear to God, I think my mom is one of the best cooks on the planet. And I've had lots of other aunties' food to like compare it to, but she's amazing. And I never really cooked with her when we were home. Like, she's just the kind of person that if you come into her kitchen, like, she'll let you sit there and she wants you to talk to her. But if you try and like help her, she'll be like, no, why don't you eat this instead? You know, or like, she'll just give you a snack. So I never really cooked with her. Then when I went away to school, I was so spoiled, right? I had this great food all the time and I missed it. And I tried to cook it a couple times and it was always horrible. And I was just like, you know what? I don't think I have the time, patience, or skill level to do this. I'm going to focus on learning how to cook other things. And I never tried to make, Indian food again, like from college to now. And then you know, and luckily also my mom used to send me care packages. So like I didn't have to go without, but I couldn't make it taste good. And so then now it's like, okay, I can't get care packages and we're locked down and I have this time, I have all the ingredients, and she really like stocked up a very tiny New York kitchen in the best way you can, right? I have all these spices from our property in India. And I was like, if I'm not going to get this now, I'm never going to get this. And so I asked for some of her easier recipes, and She sent them, and I tried to make, like, the first time I tried to make it, it was awful. And I was like, what is this? Like, what have I done wrong? And then I called some other people, and they were like, you know that nobody has a real recipe for these things, right? She's cooking based on when it smells right, when it tastes right, and, like, there's no measurements for anything. So, like, you're just going to have to do it yourself and until you get it right. And so we've eaten egg curry, like, 25 times during lockdown because I just really was like, I'm going to get this right. And I did, I think, with some small changes that I'm sure she would hate. And also, I completely bastardized it one time and made it, it's a traditional egg curry, and one time I made bacon and egg curry, which I have to say was pretty good.
That sounds really good. That sounds amazing. Just describe to me, what is egg curry? What is this dish?
So egg curry is, like, real comfort food if you're, I mean, I bet other, like, cuisines in India, like, have their own egg curries, but Kerala egg curry that my mom makes, it just starts off with, like, a pretty basic Malayali masala, right? You start with mustard seeds, onions, ginger, garlic, green chili, curry leaves, and then, like, turmeric chili powder, coriander powder, cumin, sometimes garam masala, clove, cardamom, cinnamon. And then you, like, fry it all up, and you make this, like, masala spice, essentially, that you fry in oil, and it gets really aromatic and really beautiful. And then you slide in some hard-boiled eggs, let it cook a little bit, and a little bit of water, like, to make a broth, essentially, a gravy. And then you add coconut milk and just, like, stir it sort of gently, and it all just comes together in this beautiful, like, very aromatic, rich but homey sort of gravy with halved hard-boiled eggs in it, and it's so good. And, like, I would eat it with literally anything. I usually do rice here, but my mom makes, like, you know, we'll have it with chapati, or we'll have it with appams, which are, like, a classic Kerala food, and it's so good. It's just, like, a childhood favorite.
What makes the dish so hard? Is it the fact that it's all these different steps and timing, or so many ingredients? What's the reason?
Well, first of all, I'm very impatient as a cook, so, like, I had to definitely, like, learn to be more patient with stuff, because when you're doing the spices and the aromatics and stuff, you have to do it in different steps, and you have to, like, not rush it, and, like, you know, because if you burn spices, it's awful. If you undercook them, it's awful. And I really had to, and I was, like, I was very much a baker, right? So, like, I like to measure, I like to, you know, I like to have, like, a pretty clear set of instructions and, like results, like, this temperature means it's done. And this, you know, that's how I learned how to cook, like, just because it made sense to me. And what is true of most home cooking across many cuisines is that, like, you have to develop your own intuition around, like, how much of something and, like, when it's done. So you have that timing element. And then the other thing is that, like, my mom definitely left ingredients out of this list. And I had to figure out, like, by taste and memory and scent memory, like, what she left out. And I have the suspicion it's because she never really wanted me to make it as good as hers, so I'd always miss hers. But I don't know if that's unconfirmed.
So tell me about, India is such an incredibly large, it's an entire world, let alone a country.
Yeah.
Explain to me how the food from southern India is different from other regions in India, and tell me about the region this egg curry comes from. What's it like? What does it feel like there?
Well, I'll preface this by saying literally anything I could say will be a vast generalization, because if you can separate the cuisine into north and south, but really you're separating the cuisine into, like, every state has its own type of cooking. And every community has its own type of cooking too. And it's so crazy. That's why, like, when people have asked me in the past for, like, how to pair wine with Indian food, I'm like, what are you eating? Like, it's so vastly different. Even if you're from the same state, like, someone from the north of Kerala and someone from the south of Kerala will cook a dish like this very differently. So that's just as a disclaimer here. Like, it's all very general. But in general, in Kerala, it's a coastal state. It's a very green, very lush state. And it's one of the few states where people regularly eat meat. Like, there's a ton of vegetarian cooking there as well. But we also eat meat, fish, eggs. which is great because you have this huge variety of stuff. A lot of the spices are actually grown there. So like, for example, at my grandparents' house, they grew nutmeg and cardamom and black pepper and cinnamon, and all of the stuff was like just at home, right? So, and curry leaves are everywhere, right? So like you have all these scents that you get to experience fresh as they're growing. We used to process coconut and nutmeg and stuff like that. So like you then get this other scent memory of them drying in the sun. We used to smoke tamarind. And so all of those things are just like, that's what Kerala smells like to me, is like all of these different processing of spices. It's a very different kind of place. The food is very, very spice heavy, and it's often cooked in like a very layered way. So like most things, like I said, will start off with a sort of base of oil, mustard seeds, you wait for them to pop, and then you add in onion, then you add in garlic and green chili and curry leaves and ginger, then you cook that down, and then you add in all the dry spices, and then you cook that down. And then, you know, and it just goes like step by step by step. It's very built up. I think that's probably true for a lot of Indian food, but definitely in Kerala. And then again, the other huge difference is we do a lot of fish, a lot of beef, because it's one of the only Christian populations in India. A lot of, you know, lamb and goat and poultry as well. Great duck curries coming out of Kerala, which you don't, that kind of stuff you just don't really find elsewhere in India, which is kind of cool. In specific. Oh, lots of coconut. So, I don't know how I just like didn't mention coconut. Everything is coconut.
So coconut's a big base for a lot of the sauces, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, we use, this is one of the few, like things that has like a gravy to it, but even in the stuff that is like dry fried, for example, they'll do, my favorite kind of way to use coconut is they roast it, like fresh coconut. They roast it and then like fry it in more oil. And it's just like, it tastes so good. And like fresh grated coconut is just so different from the first time I had like coconut shavings or whatever you get here in a bag. I was just like, I don't know what this is, but it's not a coconut.
So if you don't mind, tell me a little bit about your history. You're from Pittsburgh. I mean, I know you as like you're from Pennsylvania. I'm from Ohio.
Yeah.
But how did your family end up there? Let's talk about,
man,
is it a long story? Can you tell me that story?
No, it's relatively quick. It's funny. It's a funny story, I think, because we have asked my dad this for like years. I didn't actually grow up in Pittsburgh, by the way. I say Pittsburgh because it's the closest thing, but I grew up in the middle of nowhere in Somerset, Pennsylvania. And it's like fields and, I mean, this just so you guys know where it is. It's where Flight 93 crashed, right? So it's like fields. There's nothing, there's like very little there. And it's like an hour and a half away to Pittsburgh, which is the nearest city. So my dad ended up there because he was a doctor. He did his residency in Brooklyn in New York City in the 80s. And the hospitals that he went to were all like, I guess like in Red Hook or wherever. And he spent a lot of time sewing up gunshot wounds and like all kinds of just crazy stuff going on at that time. And when he was thinking about bringing my older brother, who was in India at the time, bringing my mom over, he was like, I need the opposite of Brooklyn. And ta-da, Somerset, Pennsylvania is definitely the opposite of Brooklyn. And then he was like, I'll stay here for 1 or 2 years. Seems like a nice place to start off my family. And then he just grew roots and refused to leave, even though he loved it there. We all, growing up in a small town was like, you know, and being Indian was not like the best, but it was, you know, it was what it was. My family was very close and we had a good community there. And they just moved after 30 odd years. They just moved to Florida.
Wow. So you were the only South Indian people at your school, or, I mean?
There were a couple other families. There were a couple other doctors' families in particular. And we became sort of close to them. There was one other Malayali family. Most of their kids were a lot older than me. They had graduated already or were like in upper grades when I like start to remember them. And then there were a few kids, like two kids that were a year older than me and then a bunch that were younger. So there weren't a lot of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were pretty much the diversity quotient in Somerset, Pennsylvania.
I wonder, does this dish and trying to master it, does it make you feel closer to your heritage or your mom? Or is there something you feel by doing this, or is it just food?
Oh, no, it's never just food for me. I definitely feel like I've accomplished something. That makes me feel sort of closer to my mom, because she's always like, what do you mean? It's so easy. Like, just whip it together. And it's like very frustrating for me that I can't do it. So when I got it, I was like, all right, I accomplished some things. I didn't realize how much I missed. I talked about it all the time, right? I would talk about it, especially when we talk about Kalamata's Kitchen. Like, I have these very strong memories of smelling all these spices and the smells of cooking, particularly, you know, things that my mom would make. I didn't realize how much I really missed, like, having them in my nose. And it really hit me, like, in this time, especially when we're all locked down and, like, we can't really see anybody. And I definitely feel a lot closer to them. What I learned, and I guess closer to my heritage as well, but what I learned, which is very, I didn't realize also, is that I knew my mom didn't really know how to cook when she moved to the United States, which was also atypical for, like, an Indian bride. And she taught herself how to cook in Somerset, Pennsylvania. And she initially thought that everything had to be, like, really salty and really spicy. And I've heard some very funny stories about, like, the first people who had to eat her food who were, like, thought they might die. And then now to know where she started and to know where she is now and, like, how highly esteemed she is by everyone we know who's ever eaten her food, I feel like if she can do that, I can do that somehow. I have, like, a little bit of a later start. And also, like, just the fact that in my head, I always thought that these recipes were, like, canonical, passed down through the generations sort of recipes. And turns out some of them she would have gotten guidance from, you know, my dad's mom and her mom and other people. But honestly, a lot of these were just things that she also was approximating to make, that stuff that she remembered or that my dad wanted. And so, like, learning that definitely makes me feel, like, closer to her and to the whole process, I guess.
So great. It's almost like this oral history in a weird way. It's, you know, you tell like the flood myth to each other and different stories, and it changes a little bit every time. I just love this so much. So when you go to cook it, walk me through the process of making egg curry from what you have learned and what you have decided is the way to start. You know, what are the ingredients and how do you do this?
So it all comes together, like, pretty quick. So definitely, like, from what I've learned from working in restaurants, rather than, like, this sort of scramble of, like, grabbing everything as you're cooking, it's better to set it all up, do your little mise en place. So if you have, like, the only thing that really needs chopped is the onion. And actually, I grate it on a box grater. Then if you have green chilies, you just take a couple of them and just, like, make a slit in them. Not just slit it. If it's going to be too hot, you can take out the seeds, but I don't take out the seeds. Then a couple cloves of garlic, I grate it into a paste. Same ginger, maybe like quarter teaspoon, half a teaspoon grated ginger. And then if you want to, like, measure out the spices, you can. So it's like a piece of a cinnamon stick that's like an inch, like a pod of cardamom, 3-ish cloves. I think she said to put like half a teaspoon of chili powder in, but I usually put more. So like a teaspoon of chili powder, a teaspoon of coriander powder, a teaspoon of cumin. What am I forgetting? I think, a quarter teaspoon turmeric. They have all these things measured out. It kind of helps. Then, and also you have to boil eggs, right? So she would take them like way hard boiled and then peel them and slice them. I usually go at like 8 minutes. I like a little bit of a softer yolk, 8 or 9. And then, so peel them, have those off to the side. Then you've got all the stuff together. You have your pan. You put a tablespoon of oil. You can use vegetable oil. I sometimes use coconut oil. You can use ghee if you're feeling fancy. If you're making the bacon egg curry, you can do bacon fat. Then you throw in like some mustard seeds, you know, like a, I don't know how much, like a pinch of mustard seeds, quarter teaspoon maybe, let's call it. And you just wait for them to start popping. And that sound is like one of my absolute favorite sounds. They just start like little pops in the oil. As soon as it starts popping, you add the grated onion and you cook it until it's cooked, right? Like till it smells right, which is, this annoys me so much when my mom says it, but it's actually, there's no other way to say it. You cook it till it smells nice. Then you add, if you have curry leaves and green chili, then you add it then. And the garlic and the ginger. You sort of like cook that down a little bit. So just to get the, you're not like browning it or anything, you're just getting the raw flavor off of the garlic and ginger. Then you add in the dry spices. So all that stuff that I said before, chili powder, turmeric, coriander, cumin, whatever else, cardamom, clove, cinnamon. And then you just like stir fry it a little bit in the oil, just make sure that masala is cooked. It is really a smell thing. Like you just start smelling it and like you can tell when it's still raw and then it goes to burnt like pretty quick. So you just have to be able to start to gauge where that is. And I messed that up plenty of times. And then you sort of lower the heat. You can add in a little bit of water, like half a cup of water. Sometimes I add broth if I have it, like chicken broth. Add some salt, like a teaspoon of salt. Stir it up, make sure it's all nicely mixed, add in the egg halves, and then you cover it and then just let it cook, I don't know, 5 minutes or so. So that's also why I like to do the yolks a little under because it still cooks a little bit more. And then you take it, you know, open it up and add in like half of a can of coconut milk, like a regular size can of coconut milk. I don't know how many ounces that is. Whatever, half of that can. I'll figure it out later. And then you just like very gently stir it so it doesn't like break any of the eggs up or anything. Then just cover it and like let it sit for, I don't know, take it off the heat, let it sit for like 5 or 10 minutes while you get all your other stuff together. You know, you have whatever else you're going to eat with it, rice or, you know, chapati or whatever you want. Let it sit and then just serve it. And then we eat it with our hands because it's the best way to eat it.
Love that. Love, love, love. I actually want this. I'm so hungry right now. You were a sommelier for a long time and probably still will be forever. You can't lose that moniker, I think. What wines would you do with this? Did you have some wines you would pair with this dish?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on, I've tried a couple different things. Like people always say Indian food is very hard to pair and they're not like entirely wrong. I mean, it really depends on what you're having to and like how complicated the spice profile is to be able to pair wine with it at all. Something like this that isn't like crazy and you're like, it's very aromatic, but it's not like the most intense masala that you ever eat in Indian food. You can do like Riesling is the thing that people always say, you know, because of residual sugar in the heat, that's like a very easy thing. So, and it's, you know what, it's always good. So like fair game. I also have today, I haven't tried this with it yet, but I think it's going to be really good. This is the Terrassen Blaufränkisch Rosé from the Finger Lakes, made by Thomas Pasterzak and his amazing wife, Jess. So I think that's going to be really good, right? It's like fresh, it's bright. It's a rosé that has like these very savory elements to it, but also very like crunchy, bright fruit going on. And it's just like, you know what, I like something sort of fresh. And then on the other hand, when I do the bacon and egg curry, sometimes I do something with a little bit more heft to it. So I love this. This I've had with the egg curry before. Raul Perez, Ultrea Saint-Jacques, which actually was our wedding red wine too. And it's Mencia from Bierzo, so northwestern Spain. And it's good. It's one of these wines that like has just enough like tannic grip, but it's definitely not tannic. There's like another like sort of savory element, very fresh, very aromatic, like blue and dark fruits. And something just a touch smoky that sort of like in a Northern Rhone sort of way that I think is really fun with a lot of like these dark, like brown curries, especially.
I think that these are perfect ones. That Bierzo, great call on Mencia. That's a really good, a good adaptable.
It's delicious.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
This is great. I can't wait to see you cook this. Thank you everybody for joining. Please make sure to go to SomTV.com. I'm looking forward to the delicacy showing to you guys, but also don't forget our card game Blinders is available. That's at blindersgame.com. That will sell out. It's up for pre-order at the moment. And we have an amazing wine offer right now live that involves Aperture Wine and one of the major restaurants in the delicacy, Single Thread, a 3-star Michelin restaurant in Healdsburg. They have prepared a recipe and you can order abalone for it. It's pretty amazing. And that's at somtv.com wine pairings. I hope all of you are safe and sound and treating whoever you're cooped up with really, really nicely, because at some point these doors are going to open and they can leave. Please be safe. I will talk to you all very soon. Bye-bye.